All right. Hello, everybody. This is Toby Miller, Chief Operating Officer for NAPMA. And we'll be joined in just a moment here by Grandmaster Stephen Oliver, a few of our special guests, a few of our special inner circle members as our guests today, and also in about 50 minutes, the great Grandmaster Jun Rhee will be joining us hopefully for a few minutes to chat a little bit about what he's been working on and how some of that can help you in your school this year. First of all, welcome to the first call of 2012. Obviously, we have a few logistical updates to get through today that I think are going to be useful for everybody. And we're really excited about the new year. I always really like to take some time over the holiday break and, you know, re-energize and refocus on my objectives and those types of things, and I'm sure you do the same thing in your school. And, you know, we're seeing some really positive indicators in the economy and some positive indicators in the market. You know, the holiday sales were up over previous years by a good bit. Ford just released this afternoon that they had record high sales in the last 5 years, record high sales growth over December. A lot of electronic media are recording record sales over the last, you know, number of weeks. So there are a lot of positive indicators in the market, a lot of positive indicators in the economy. However, you know, we all know that it's really all about creating your own opportunity, right? So we're really excited about our call today. We're going to be talking about how a lot of our own schools, of course, but also our very high-level members are kicking off their New Year marketing campaigns and what they're working on, you know, what's working, what isn't, those types of things. So we're going to have a lot of good feedback on that today. Two quick logistical items for everybody while we're waiting for everyone to plug in here. First is, this is an update for all of our Inner Circle and Peak Performer members and everyone else who may have this objective in their mind. One of the things that we all know is differentiating yourself in your market is essential, right? You can't be just another option, right? It's really a race to the bottom if that's the case. So we don't want to be, as NAPMA members, as members of the professional association, we don't want to be a health club, right? We don't want to be the alternative to the gym. We don't want to be the alternative to soccer or baseball or football for a nine-year-old. And what we really want to be is the premium educational facility in your area, the development center to develop high performing, and I don't necessarily mean, you know, just physically, but high performing children to create better kids, to create better families, to create better people. And that really does cause you to think about how you're going to differentiate yourself in the market pretty dramatically. You know, the level of professionalism that a customer experiences, the level of professionalism that they'll expect in your school. And all of the systems that surround them have to equal that level of their perception of your professionalism. And there are two things in particular I wanted to mention. One is that one of the best ways to differentiate yourself in the market, to stand out from everybody else in your market who might be running a martial arts school, whether they're a professional version or not, is sort of becoming a local celebrity, right? And one of the tools and one of the systems that we sort of build into our process for Inner Circle and Peak Performer members is becoming a published author, right? Obviously, for everyone, all of our NAPMA members, every month in your member packages, you get you receive a done-for-you press release. And every month you should be emailing and faxing and mailing that press release to all of your media contacts. And really with 15 minutes of effort online, you could find almost all the media contacts you need in your area. But you should be sending that every month, you know, customizing it for your own location, perhaps just using it as a model to integrate your own, press campaigns. But getting published in your local newspaper, your local media is extremely important to differentiate yourself, extremely useful to differentiate yourself, and really become the option, you know, the solution in your market, not just another solution. And we've kind of gone and taken that one step further for our Inner Circle and Peak Performer members, and we collaborate every year to publish a book together. And really, the one reason that most people don't go and publish their own book and, you know, write their own book is because of all the labor it takes. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and editing and proofreading and artists and layout people and all that sort of stuff. And what we've done, again, in our Inner Circle and People Former groups is we're doing all that work for them. So really what happens is each of our Inner Circle and People Former members has the opportunity to participate in that book. They submit their chapter, which basically is I do an interview with them, and then we have that interview transcribed, and we send that transcriber off to our editor, and, you know, it's rewritten slightly, and, you know, send it to our proofreaders and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then they approve it. And we several months into the year, create the book, get it published. Actually, we do self-publishing, but we have it published, and it's available on Amazon and all the online channels. Plus, they can buy them at a very, very low rate and sell them in the school or give them away and send them to local media outlets, send them to local principals and daycare providers and, you know, those types of things as a marketing tool. But again, it's a tool to differentiate yourself. Being a, quote, unquote, local celebrity in your press, right, local media, newspaper, radio, television, is very, 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 very useful, and it's something that all of our members should be doing in macro, as a blanket statement. Everybody should be at least a few times a year getting in front of or getting featured in their local media. The additional step that we're taking with our high-level members is creating your perception, create your persona, your differential sort of unique selling proposition, positioning you as the leading expert in your area on developing strong families, developing character in children, developing leadership skills, whatever the case may be. And the reason I'm mentioning this today is because our latest book has just been released. The latest book that we just completed with our Inner Circle and People Forum members is called Coaching Children to Succeed in Life. And it's available on Amazon.com. It'll be available on our website in a few days. But this, again, is designed solely to be a differentiating and marketing tool for our Inner Circle and People Forum members. And, again, we have 8 of them who participated in this particular book. Each of them, again, submitted their own chapter, and, you know, we worked together to develop that. And this particular tool is designed to go to all of the local facilitators, guidance counselors, PE teachers, principals, sports team coaches, anyone who deals with children on a group level, physicians, pediatricians, dentists, you know, those types of folks. And it's going to ride along with a little letter that basically introduces, for example, John Metcalf. It'll introduce John Metcalf to that local sports coach or to that local elementary school principal or guidance counselor or whatever the case may be, as the leading expert in their area on coaching children to succeed in life. And, again, there is no stronger, no more efficient, effective tool to position yourself as an expert as being a published author. So, again, this is what that concept was all about, and it really does take a lot of work and a lot of effort for us to pull all this together. However, the individual effort on each of our Inner Circle members is relatively light. I think a few hours of their time, and that's about it. But anyway, so I wanted to mention that to you, and it's out and available now. You'll be getting more information about it in the next couple of packages and sort of what it's all about and how it's useful. But I just want to make sure that, number one, all of our Inner Circle and People Forum members are now aware that it's available for ordering, but also that everybody understood the concept, right, and that every month any level of our member should be using the Done For Them press releases to get local media attention. This is, you know, yet another level of that differentiation in the marketplace and positioning yourself as an expert in the area of developing solid kids, families, character, leadership skills, something that's completely separate from what most likely most of your competition is doing in the marketplace. Most of them are so enamored with, you know, kicking and punching that they, you know, they haven't really figured out that the market wants more yet. So I just wanted to mention that. Mr. Oliver, anything you'd add to that that strategy, that architecture?
Well, you know, I think I would say that, you know, in our industry starting in the 70s, is everybody put self-esteem, confidence, focus, and discipline on the walls. But in reality, they taught Taekwondo or Kempo or whatever they had studied, and there wasn't any substance behind it. And a lot of what we're trying to do in providing member resources is to nudge everybody towards greater and greater level of efficacy of actually teaching what they promise. And it's the old thing, if you can overpromise and, underpromise and overdeliver, you're in great shape. But, you know, it may be true that going through the process of learning martial arts develops confidence in those who stick with it. It's also true that what most schools have done is weed out the ones who didn't have it, so therefore all their black belts were confident because, you know, you had to be pretty bulletproof to begin with to get through their thing. And so I think the other thing that I think goes unstated is if we look at all the different range of what NAPMA member schools teach, and I've had just this week so far three or four different coaching sessions with schools, I think each one of which admit or several of them have, is doesn't matter what it is. If it's cardio kickboxing, adult men MMA, Krav, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, any variety of Muay Thai adult programs, or any variety of kids program, ultimately every student that you have in school wants the same outcome. The difference is not in the outcome, it's in the look and feel of the delivery, and it's in the marketing message to entice them to come in and try it out. And where I think the MMA trend, cardio kickboxing trend long before it, et cetera, had led some schools astray, is they thought it was about the curriculum, they thought it was about the physical technique, they thought it was about something different than what it is. I mean, if I'm an adult male who's a 35-year-old attorney, what do I really want? I want confidence and discipline and focus, the ability to handle myself in any situation. If I'm an attorney, to do better in court or to do better with clients, to make a bigger income, to set goals for myself and to feel more confident in all situations. And if we lose sight of the fact that it doesn't matter whether it's a Krav Maga class or a cardio kickboxing class or, you know, a kids Taekwondo class, that ultimately the student outcomes are the same. You've got to, you know, not present it in kiddie fashion for the adults and not present it in too much of an adult fashion for the kids and more importantly for the parents. But the outcome is the same. I think that's where so many times we lose sight of what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, and, you know, I also think, Michelle, that it, regardless of what style I teach, I think it also, I've had, like you, we've both over the last, 5 or 6 months have spoken with hundreds and hundreds of school owners. And the great thing about our industry, the great thing about this business as a business model is that it's so easy to differentiate yourself from the guy down the street, right? Number one, let me take a step back. The great thing about that is you have a choice to either be a commodity or not be a commodity. You have a choice to be just an alternative to the health club or just an alternative to gymnastics or soccer, let's say soccer or baseball, or you can choose to be truly a premium service, truly a deep educational experience. And I guess what I was saying is that you have, regardless of style, all of the things that we're talking about that we've tested and that we know works extremely well in the marketplace has virtually nothing to do with curriculum. As long as the curriculum is, let me say it this way, appropriate, right?
Well,
to the age group and appropriate to the level. Go ahead.
Let me clarify what you mean as curriculum. It has little to do with whether you're teaching Kempo, Taekwondo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or some other variation.
Right.
It has everything to do with what's being taught in the class and how you're communicating what's being taught and what the outcomes are. But frankly, you know, jumping from one thing to another in most cases is irrelevant.
Yeah, and for numerous reasons, but the overarching piece of that is that regardless of the physical curriculum, the physical style that you're teaching in the school, you know, we had this discussion in our last little bonus call for our Inner Circle MP Performer members at the end of the year last year, and I think it's probably useful for everyone just to think about this. Our big differentiator between, let's say, our orientation program and our higher level program, our leadership program, virtually never is the discussion about the cool forms that they get to do and the cool weapons they get to play with. It's not about that. It's about that maturity continuum that we talked about. And it's the difference between learning to be kind of a worker bee and learning to be like a manager bee or an executive bee, right? Those types of things. So anybody can take that concept and install it into their curriculum, into their physical curriculum, into their physical style. Right? Anybody can do that. So it doesn't matter if it's Kung Fu or Tai Chi, or it just doesn't matter. So that's the great thing about our business, is we have that opportunity. And I know today, Mr. Oliver, you're going to walk through a bunch of that with our marketing plans and also with Grandmaster June Reed later. So it's a great time to be in this business. There is not a better time to be in this business. You know, we've seen great dramatic growth in the industry with schools who have chosen to be a truly professional organization, whereas, you know, the economy and the market has destroyed entire industries in other niches. So it's a great time to be in the industry, and it's going to be a great year for everyone. So I'm just really excited about all of that.
Yeah, and we've got a pretty robust call today. We should have Professor Sasha Williams on the call with us. Professor Williams, are you on and unmuted?
You have to hit *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. Everyone right now is muted, so just to control some background noise.
Yeah. He was probably dialing in on the moderator code, but I think we have Master Jeff Smith, Master Sasha Williams, Jonathan Metcalf, and I don't know, is Joe Baruki with us? So you got to identify yourself if you're muted. Hit *6 and come off mute.
All right, this is Jonathan. I'm here.
That was Jonathan, okay. Very good, very good. And
Dr. Oliver, Joe Baruki, I'm here.
Hey, Joe. Good to have you guys. And
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, you too, sir. Master Milroy, why don't we organize ourselves kind of this way, and we can play off each other. But I would suggest, I mean, we've got two of our superstar Inner Circle members on the phone. One of our superstar Maui Karate School owners on the phone, of course. I think we'll have Grandmaster Smith here. And I scheduled Grandmaster Reed to join us in about 45 minutes. So, just to explain, everybody should have gotten a Christmas present from myself and Grandmaster Reed of his hardback book of Trutopia. It ended up coming without much explanation, and I would spend some time later in the call talking about that and talking about what is useful and how to think about the application for yourself. But what I would suggest we do, Joe, why don't we start with you, and then we can roll to Professor Williams and to Jonathan Metcalf. Let's take 10 minutes or so with each of our superstars on the phone, and let's outline if your mission was, and I'll give everybody a goal, and they might have their own that's higher or lower, but I'm going to say our goal is 100 new students in the next 90 days. So, Joe, let's start with you. Your goal is 100 new students in the next 90 days, and I think you've done quite a bit better than that with your new school opening. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, to get started for this year, I tried to keep the ball rolling from the last quarter. I backed off on the advertising. I spent a lot of money when I opened my school up to get it rolling, but also did a lot of special events. So we're doing, just in the month of January, other than print advertising, we're going to be doing two major events. Now that I have two locations, we're going to be doing two major events at both locations.
Mm-hmm.
And basically buddy weeks with a great ending. For example, we did a dodgeball tournament, which was amazingly successful. We had over 100 people sign up for it, enough that we had to cut off enrollment for it. and we ended up enrolling just from that one event 15 new students, which when you know when you have that sort of event, the percentages aren't the greatest. So I was very excited about that. And so in one night, we enrolled 15 people. So
Hey, Joe, to give everybody a little more validation and let's explore all these things. When you opened your new school, tell them a little bit about what kind of marketing results you had. And of course, you know, you've been a coaching client and now an App Inner Circle member for quite a while. And, you know, give them some sense, just your most recent marketing effort, you opened the new school, what kind of results did you get there and what kind of marketing results have you had with your existing school as you open the new one?
It's a lot. So I'll just go over results in the first month that we opened.
Yeah.
In the first month that we opened, we averaged 5 new enrollments a day. That's Monday through Saturday. Now, that's people coming in and signing up for a trial. And then we retained out of that 100 new students.
And that's in the first month.
In the first month. And, you know, it continued after that.
Don't get over that so quickly. And that's the formula that you and I talked about extensively and walked through. And I know you followed the plan and then plused it. But if you start a school with 100 students in the first month, you're at positive cash flow every month. And certainly from then on. But you started the school with 100 students, and I can't tell you how many Asmola and I have talked to that have been open 6 years and don't have 100 students. You know, or people who open the doors with great fanfare and spent $40,000 on build out, and, you know, it took them a year to get to there. So if I want to do 100 students in January, how would you do it? What's the pieces? This volleyball tournament is interesting. I think that's a new one on me. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it's funny thing about kids is that you know they'll play dodgeball until they drop. And so what we did was a buddy week, culminating with a dodgeball tournament at the end of the week. And we also piggybacked it with showing a movie, which we have a projector, and we put it up on the wall. And a lot of parents use it as a night out, of course, and, you know, parents love that. But when they came to pick up the kids, we were doing an event that showed the character development behind, you know, what we do in our regular program. And we had parents literally grabbing us up before we had a chance to get to them saying, How do I get involved? How do I get my kid involved in this? You know? So that was the big event. And the advertising that I did, I did everything. There's coupon books that I got on the front page, paid a little bit extra to do that. We did inserts in the local newspaper. And the local newspaper also has a sticker that you can put on the front, which was very successful. It's a peel-off sticker that on the back, you can put also a message on the back of it, but the main message obviously was on the front. So every week I either had an insert or a sticker along with print advertising, as well as direct mail.
Explain what you mean by sticker.
It's basically you picture the front page of a newspaper. And on every paper that goes out, either, you know, mailed to the homes or in newsstands, it had I believe it was 3x3 or maybe bigger, 3.5x3.5 sticker that peeled off if you needed it to. And you know, it's basically a small advertisement saying, you know, grand opening, and then on the back out a special offer.
Yeah, I mean,
very
successful. Did you drive them to a phone number or a website?
Oh, both.
Okay.
Both. And even in that month, you know, I did Google AdWords. I also boosted my Google AdWords when I started the whole marketing program. That was pretty strong.
Good.
And it was so much. I don't have that plan in front of me, but that, you know, that's the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can't underestimate the value on any kind of print media, whether it be a coupon mailing that goes in their mailbox or a newspaper that's dropped on the front step or on the on the newsstand. You know, having that real estate right on the front, and you know, the kind of disposable community papers. My strategy used to always be to buy the front or buy the back cover, and if, in lieu of that, you know, either page three or the inside back cover, because a lot of people read from backwards forward. Because just because you have a beautiful ad, if they never see it, it doesn't do any good. And that's the, you know, the biggest problem with online and offline is they just never even see it, or they don't really glance at it. So it's you know, it's so important to have that. What kind of budget did you spend in your grand opening?
$20,000.
Okay.
Now
some people. Yeah, some people are going to be shocked by that number. But if you think about it this way, you open a new school, you spend $20,000, end up with 100 students. 100 students paying how much per month on average?
Oh, on average, around 179 a month.
Okay, so 100 times 179, my math is correct here, $17,000 a month. What were they paying down payment?
$259 or more.
Okay. Well, so $259 or more. So let's say $259. Just in the down payment, they pay $25,900 more or less. And so you spend $20,000 to get back $25,000 immediately. That's actually better than I would have predicted. You know, I would have predicted that, you know, getting it back on the down payment would be difficult. So you did better than I would have expected.
So did I.
Yeah.
I did better than I anticipated, especially, you know, with everybody whining about the economy. And, you know, the economy obviously is soft. Mm-hmm. But it also gets back to your efforts. And since you were talking about numbers, you know, the economy is down, so a lot of real estate companies are willing to pay for, you know, build out and such.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I got such a substantial build-out allotment that some of that advertising was actually paid for by that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so not only were you not paying for the build-out, I remember we spent a lot of time on the lease on that deal, but not only were you not paying for the build-out, they were chipping in money that actually helped get your grand opening going.
And then the response was so good that, you know, I paid off all that advertising, which I got a business loan, a startup loan, mm-hmm. and that's gone.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, you paid it back by having such a big opening. And you know, there's a quote I came up with. I've been, you know, fresh on my mind, as with most of the world, you know, in the last quarter since Steve Jobs was passing. And a quote I came up with that is pretty interesting. It's from an interview in Forbes, and I like it because it validates what, you know, what people laughing at me about saying. But it says, I have a great respect for incremental improvement, and I've done that sort of thing in my life, but I've always been attracted to more revolutionary changes. I don't know why. They're harder. They're much more stressful emotionally. You usually go through a period where everybody tells you you've completely failed. But you don't get a chance to do many things, and every one that you do should be really excellent. And, you know, it's a modification of what I told people constantly, is it's a lot easier to set big goals and radical goals and hit them than it is to do incremental. And so, you know, it's much easier to just start a school successful and to start a school grossing $30,000-$40,000, and, of course, you end up in a situation where the second, third month of school is open, you can be a $40,000-$50,000 a month school and frankly stay there. So go back to if you wanted to set a marketing plan without having $20,000 to spend to do 100 students in the first quarter, what would be the elements? We heard about I said volleyball, the dodgeball tournament. You had the dodgeball tournament. How did that work? What did you do? I mean, you got 15 new students from it. So many people signed up for it, you had to cut it off, which is a marvelous thing. But how did that work? How did you get the participation, and how did you convert them to enrollment?
Well, we basically had a buddy week, and we gave all of our students, current students, invitations to hand out to their friends to come, you know, for the week to try a class, but we've also gave them an open invitation to come to the big event. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them chose to come to the big event, which made it harder on us, but eventually, you know, it worked out. But it's simple, very simple. Just handed out invitations. And we didn't hand out, you know, like enough invitations that they would invite their whole class. Mm-hmm. We said, we want you to invite five special, you know, five close friends.
Yeah.
And if you don't have five close friends, you know, make some new friends was the joke that we said. Mm-hmm. And we had so many people come for this thing. And, you know, our current enrollment in just our one location is 280.
Yeah.
So, and most of that being children. So it appeared like a lot of them actually had friends come, because you can do buddy weeks, but not everybody comes. And this one, we had to cut it off. There was 125 people that we cut it off at.
Yeah.
So we promised them, hey, we're going to do another one. And, you know, so we're thinking we're going to be cutting this one off even faster.
Well, absolutely. And Professor Williams, make a note for yourself. When we shift to you, let's talk about the language that that your instructor used for the buddy week, because it was the best I've ever heard. Joe, I think you missed it, but when we were at the Keystone Retreat, is the best language I ever heard for encouraging a student to bring all their friends and to communicate with a parent on why it was why it was useful was what they used in Fresno to generate, I don't know, it was a standing room only buddy week. You probably saw the pictures. They had so many people in the room that, you know, you couldn't walk through, and thank God the fire marshal didn't stop by that day. you know, and we were sorry to miss you in Keystone. I think it was probably one of our most productive Inner Circle Peak Performer sessions ever. And our primary focus wasn't on marketing, but we did leave with I think everybody, and Jonathan, we'll have you address that, because it was one of Mr. Metcalf's big issues was I think everybody left with a first quarter marketing plan that's right up in par with what you've been doing. So, Joe, are other ideas for things that you can do right now to benefit from the fact that we're in prime season? I mean, everybody, no matter whether it's adult women looking for weight loss or parents looking for something with their kids, is our prime to enroll right now. And so it's time to double down and spend the money, spend the time to do it. What are some other things that you would recommend?
The old go into daycare centers. They are starving for things to do all the time.
Yeah.
I also just started with, you know, I work out of the Gold Gym. I decided to go up to the head of the aerobics program and said, what do you think about me coming in and doing a program for your women? I'm not talking ongoing thing, just, you know, one day for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, I'm going to teach them self-defense, but also I'm going to talk about what we do for children. And haven't done that one yet, but that's just an idea I started.
Yeah.
And then one that I'm working on for the spring, which isn't, you know, obviously not in the first quarter, but at the tail end, is Rec Council doing after-school programs for the Rec Council that will benefit mm-hmm. the Rec Council, I mean, and then, of course, they'll be able to come to my school and train after the three-week intro to karate program that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That will obviously be, you know, our regular after-school program, which deals with, you know, character development lesson every time we go. So anything and everything I can do, I'm going to be doing in the next quarter.
Absolutely, fantastic. So, on your 100 students in 30 days, what was the maybe in order of effectiveness? What was the list of what really blew the doors off on that?
I really firmly believe that the stickers. Everybody mm-hmm. came in with those stickers on the front of the newspaper.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have. I'm in Carroll County, Maryland, both locations, and we have the Carroll County Times, which is not a rinky-dink paper. It's not a, you know, like a really, like, just a city paper. It covers the whole county, obviously, and pretty big circulation.
It's a daily with regular editorial, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And so I got on that with those stickers, and that was the thing that most of the new enrollments came in with, or said mm-hmm. they picked me up or heard about me from that sticker. And then the second thing being right on the tails was the insert from the same mm-hmm. newspaper.
Yep.
And then we had a lot of ads out in the there's two coupon books, and mm-hmm. I normally are inside those coupon books, and I got on the covers.
Yeah.
That also was, so those four things, those two coupon books I got on the cover, the stickers and the inserts. I did direct mail, but response was not, how should I say, when you track this stuff, not everybody steps up and says, oh, I saw your direct mail piece. They, even if you plug, tool for it, they'll just mm-hmm. say, oh, I found it online. Sometimes it's hard to track perfectly.
And let me paraphrase a couple things you said. Is if you ask the general public, most business people, they think newspapers are dead. And as a business model, they may well be right. But if you look from an advertising standpoint, you prove what I've been saying for a long time, which is, the inserts, especially Wednesday and Sunday papers, which are when, in most cases they have the grocery store ads and the housewives or who's ever coupon conscious is looking for Target.
Let me interject something. I decided to do the sticker on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to do the insert on a day when there weren't a lot of inserts.
Okay. Okay.
So that it didn't get lost.
Mm-hmm.
The rest
mm-hmm.
is, so I went against the norm, and it appeared to work.
Well, and what you should experiment with is doing it on an off day and doing it on the insert day. And my guess is when there's 20 others is when you'll also do better. But not necessarily. I mean, every area is a little different, and there's seasonality, all kinds of things, variables. But there's a couple things there that you said, just to paraphrase, is one is newspapers, the front, post-it note type of stickers in the front, and newspaper inserts, both still work pretty well. And typically the inserts are about a nickel a piece, two-sided, 8.5 by 11, last time I priced it out. Do you remember what they were charging for the stickers?
It was about the same, actually, 20
yeah.
The numbers.
And probably a little more valuable, keeping in mind that the sticker is a post-it note size and the insert, 8.5 by 11, is it may not seem that way, but they don't miss the sticker.
Even if somebody didn't buy the newspaper, if they were in the grocery store and they saw it, the front page, the sticker is right there.
Exactly. The other thing to point out, and it's really why it's the kind of the go big or go home theory, is J. Abraham calls it the Parthenon effect, but I've always called it a combination of there's a synergy that goes on with this stuff, where you might have several things that if you did them independently in a vacuum wouldn't work particularly well, but now when you throw everything up against the wall, it gets each of them to work better, and so what you end up with is, in the concept of the Parthenon, you want to have an awful lot of different things going on because some are going to work well, some are not going to work well. But the synergy is the fact that they may have seen the sticker and the insert and then gotten the coupon book with your ad on the cover, and then they had a friend who talked to them about the dodgeball tournament, and they went to the dodgeball tournament, and really they came from the sticker if you want to track it back. So there's a synergy that happens that is unaccounted for. We're going to run out of time here, but, hey, Joe, a couple points of advice. We have a lot of members that we still haven't gotten on the phone for their one-on-one evaluation. Give them some thoughts on two things. One is whether they should take the time to talk to myself and Master Milroy and have us look under the covers and evaluate their score, what the pros and cons are from that, from your perspective.
Where do I start? I've been a coaching, one of your coaching members for so long, I've forgotten how long now. And
I think five or 6 years. I mean, it's been an awful long time.
And one of the first things that I took away was value what you're doing and price appropriately. And that's one of the biggest problems in the martial arts industry is that we just don't charge what is right for what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many schools that charge just a little bit more than an hour's worth of athletic training or a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you look at it, we do way more than what a personal trainer does on an ongoing basis. And so it would be right to say that we should be charging way more than what a personal trainer would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, I think not only it makes sense, I just had the excruciating experience of spending a week at Disney. And Disney, in this apparently dismal economy, was so busy during the holidays that they shut down the parking lots and shut down the gates at Magic Kingdom and Epcot several times over the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure they shut it down while I was actually on property, but it sure felt like they should have. Let's take, which I just did, family of four going to Disney. Now, I have the marvelous luxury of having a close friend of mine, Mike McCoy, who's an employee there. So he got me some discounts. But here's a family of four week at Disney. Stay on Disney property, somewhere between $250 a night and infinity. I think they have up to $10,000 a night room. So let's say $250 a night times 7 nights. A park ticket, if I recall, on the Park Hopper Pass is, what is it, Toby, $250 for the week? I think it was $250 for the week. May have been a little bit more than that. So times four, that's $1,000 for the Park Hopper Pass. You can't eat in a Disney restaurant, a sit-down restaurant, for less than $150. So let's say that you only did that once a day, times seven. And then if you're eating the fast food, you can't do that for less than about $50. So let's say you did that once a day, times seven, and then you buy the plane ticket. So let's say that's $400 a piece times four. I've lost count of what that is, but in round numbers, let's say that's a $10,000 a week. And the capacity at I believe the capacity at Epcot was 100,000, and they were maxed. And the capacity at Magic Kingdom, I believe, was 80,000, and they were maxed over and over and over during the week. So anytime somebody wants to tell you we're expensive, you know, the price we're charging for a student to have lifelong value to second-degree black belt is in many cases less than a week at Disney.
Exactly.
So, hey, go ahead.
One more thing, getting back to what you said, one of the main things that I've taken from coaching has endless value, and you touched on already, is that Parthenon theory of having a minimum of five marketing programs going at the same time. And it's definitely like spinning plates sometimes, but the results speak for themselves. Instead of just saying, I do one coupon a month or something like that, having five different marketing programs at the same time, at least. Now, I actually start getting antsy if I don't have a minimum of five going at the same time. So, it's again, it's like spinning plates, but well worth it.
Well, and also, if you have the confidence that what you're doing is likely to work, and nothing's perfect, but it's likely to work, it gives you the confidence to spend the money that you have to spend to be truly high six-figure earner in this kind of business. And what so many school owners do is they're either timid about it, they don't understand the numbers, or they're out there floundering on their own without a direct support line. and they're trying to pick and choose what they think might work without really having the ability to walk through and having an educated eye looking over their shoulder. And, you know, I mean, it took a little bit of cojones to spend $20,000, but you knew going in that what the results were likely to be, and the results that you and I projected were actually less than what you got, which is a nice, you know, a nice result. I tend to be hyper-conservative to the point of being accused of being pessimistic when it comes to, you know, results like that, but, you know, it pays off. Well, hey, let's, Joe, don't go away. Let's include Jonathan and Sasha here. Professor Williams Mr. Metcalf, tell us what you would add to what Joe said. If you're going to add 100 students in the next 90 days, expand upon what your action plan would be. And let's assume that we don't have 20,000 to drop on the problem. So how would you do it with labor or with limited budget?
Okay, adding 100 students in a few months?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like event-based marketing. So like what he said with the dodgeball party, there's 100 variations of that. Anything that brings people into your school, or not even necessarily at your school, but any place where you can get a bunch of people together to basically take some kind of program where, as Mr. Brookie put it, you see an event.
Mm-hmm.
That's an opportunity to sign 3, 5, 10, 15 students at a time.
Yeah.
And every time you can, you know, do that, you're going to be moving in the right direction. If you get 2 or 3 of those a quarter, that's an extra 50 students a quarter. But just like you said, you know, if you don't have 5 things going, you should be nervous, because as many times as I've tried that, and we've had some home runs, we've also had some things that, for seemingly, you know, for reasons I couldn't tell you why or why not, sometimes it seems to work fantastic, and sometimes you try what you thought was the exact same thing, and you get different results.
Well, and here's failure mechanism for people, number one, is when we explain to them some of these things that work really well, they say, oh, I tried that, and it didn't work.
Right.
And sometimes they tried something close. Sometimes they had bad timing. Sometimes they had mediocre implementation. And you know, if you do something 8 times, you might get it to work, you know, work like a charm 6 of those times. And a few times it doesn't, and there may not be any better explanation other than, you know, it just didn't work that well. So, you know, if you stop doing everything that at one time or another didn't work great, you end up doing nothing.
Exactly. So is this a new school or is this an existing school?
It's an existing school. So I'm an existing school, you know, pick a number of active students, but I want to add 100 new students in the next 90 days. So,
well, the next the low-hanging fruit there, I like event-based marketing because it's usually free. He did a lot of print advertising, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. and probably sounds like it easily paid for itself. Typically, when I do event-based marketing, I just do flyers and handouts and passes, and that's free. But now that I heard that sticker's working and it pays for itself, there's no reason for me not to do that too.
Sure.
But another cheap one is getting your students to refer, and by referrals, not just like the event-based stuff like we were talking about, or their friends, which is what we typically think of, but also to have them refer people to your school, like from the family. So family add-on,
mm-hmm.
Run an event to maybe grab 20 or so family add-on members. And the other people that is nice for your students to refer to you are their school teachers.
Yeah.
You can have some teacher appreciation event. I think Teacher Appreciation Week happens the fall in April. It's an actual, you know, thing that goes on during the course of the calendar year. And but you don't have to wait for that. You can have a belted promotion or whatever be the excuse to get these teachers to your school or invite them several times. And if you can get some teachers to your school, that's definitely going to drive some traffic too, because then they'll become bird dogs for you. They'll start referring people themselves.
You know, I had one of my coaching clients. I'm trying to place who it was that did this so successfully. I walked them through. They actually had a banquet that was a teacher appreciation banquet. And they made a big deal about each child in the school nominating the person who's had the most impact on them. And sometimes it's their current year teacher. Sometimes it was, you know, a high school student bringing their third grade teacher. but they nominated the person that they wanted to bring, and they had a complete and by the way, that's a Teacher Appreciation Week is the 2nd to the 6th of May.
Okay, today. That's on my calendars.
Yeah. But they had a complete, like, formal banquet, complete with awards. And so they had the child come up and present the award for the teacher that they had nominated to the teacher. And so they had all the kids who had nominated the teacher, all the parents who had nominated the teacher, all the teachers who were nominated, and of course then you invited all the other teachers at their school to come and recognize and applaud the the recognition. And extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Not direct. In other words, you're not trying to enroll the teachers in the school. You're trying to just create a ripple effect for the community. And as Master Milroy said at the beginning of the call, the book that the Inner Circle members have worked on, and we have a couple of other iterations of that that we're going to be working on this year, is an extremely powerful adjunct to that, for that level of credibility.
Well, I look forward to having a new book to work with. That'll be great.
Absolutely.
We basically, our marketing plan that we put together has 7 categories every month. And the 7 categories are referral drivers, media campaigns, community-based events, direct mail, grassroots marketing, group intros, and special programs. And special programs and group intros are similar. But special programs include recreation programs and school programs, and group intros might be more along the lines of Boy Scout troops or Girl Scout troops or daycares or sports teams, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Your formatting is really useful for people to take note on. And so you want to constantly be doing community outreach activities. And whether that's a Girl Scout troop or a Boy Scout troop or something in the elementary school or the church or the recreation center, those are usually semi-labor-intensive or sometimes highly labor-intensive, predominantly as a way to generate leads, to go teach a class, get a permission slip, get the permission to follow up, put them in a direct mail, email, telemarketing follow-up, and then get them into the school. You want to be constantly structuring your school so you have regular internal referral activities designed to either do parent or family add-ons or to bring friends from, if it's a child from elementary school, if it's an adult from their, their work or their circle of friends. So you want to have constant internal activities. You want to have constant community outreach activities. You want to have paid advertising going on, and you want to do it intelligently and effectively. Joe talked about post-it notes and newspaper inserts and the cover of the coupon booklet, all of those. Fairly expensive, if you look at it in aggregate, inexpensive, given that he got the money back the first month. The enrollment cost him about $200 a piece, and he got over $250 a piece per enrollment on the day they signed. So you want to have that type of activity going on. You also want to be constantly working on public relations and press. It's not something that you can rely on. It's one of those things that you get a lot of strikeouts and occasionally get a home run. So you want to be looking for little TV clips and get on the radio interview show and to get, of course, the press releases that we're putting together to get out in the local community magazines. And the smaller the newspaper or magazine, the easier it is to get in, the less effective it is. We've done, in my case, lots of PR over the years. I could never count on it, but occasionally we ended up on the front cover of the style section on a newspaper that went after 800,000 people and got 300 calls. And occasionally we got a little blip in the mention that was, didn't pull us a ton of traffic, but was somewhat useful. So public relations, community outreach activities, paid media, internal activities designed for referrals and family add-ons. Jonathan, you mentioned direct mail, but to make it more specific, is you can spend a lot of money on direct mail with somebody who has already raised their hand and is interested, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. And it's not that much money. I mean, I have some pretty good calculations right here about what it is, but...
Go ahead.
Let me see. We, as you guys saw, we had a 16-week sequence for direct mail, not including the monthly newsletter, and it is $8 per lead to send in postage and another $7 in printing. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's less than $20 per lead to send it out. And we sent that out to 2,073 leads in 2011. And these are all people who directly raised their hand or you know, we got they visited the center for some reason, so they came to a birthday party or they came to a school program graduation. Some reasons for us to believe, you know what, this is the right kind of person. That we went and bought a list of a bunch of, you know, people who had the right kind of income and the right, you know, age group in their household. Well, that would be worth something, but this is worth even more because these people have actually seen us and we know their kids are active and are friends with someone who comes here. So.
At least 10 times more. And it's the mistake that, you know, I'll use always an inaccurate term, but I'd say everybody makes the mistake of not spending enough time or money on people who have already expressed interest. And Professor Williams and I were just talking, you know, the big 3D dimensional mail, the things that we've worked with in Inner Circle and Peak Performers a lot, you know, the bank bag and the, you know, message in a bottle, that kind of stuff. If we were just looking at the price, it's like $2.70, $2.77, $2.82 per piece, including postage into the mail. And, you know, you're talking about a sequence, and, you know, they haven't seen all the stuff that you have, but, I mean, it's a bunch of stuff into the mail for $8. So, you know, let's say theoretically you had 1,000 people you were going to spend $8 on a piece. So that's $8,000. But frankly, you need what would you say, Jonathan, a 5% total response rate to be at a huge return on investment?
To be at a huge return on investment, yeah, because I need, out of 1,000 people, I need 4 people to sign to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. So if four people sign, you're at break even. If you hit the number that Joe hit, which was $200 on enrollment, I mean, you can divide it out and figure out what that would be, but it's 1 out of 20, so it's half of 1%, right?
Yeah.
The numbers are right.
It's just the only reason not to do it is because you don't have the time or the wherewithal to hire someone else who has the time.
Yeah. And one of the things that that we're putting together for all the NAPMA members is all of this stuff done for you. So,
okay. I have another great resource that, you know how I get this done now? I used to pay someone to do it. Now I get it done for free by the employees who are supervised.
Because
it's mostly envelope stuffing and labeling, right? And that's a lot of time, and it's kind of boring work. So I don't want to do it. And frankly, I don't want to tie up any of my employees having them do it because it's kind of a burnout kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the home run was that there's a local, and this is just in every community, there's a local company called a rehabilitation company. And what they do is they take special needs children, you know, kids with autism or Downs or something like that, not violent children, who want to go into the workplace, but they need some training before they're able to go into the workplace independently. So they come here with a professional trainer, and they stuff the envelopes, and they do the stuff that prepares them for, you know, another job. And they're paid, but they're paid through grant money that the rehabilitation company has or through special ed funding. So I don't pay a cent for it. They just come in and use my space to work, and it's a great fit. They're here for 3 hours a week. And, you know, they were here this morning, and there were 3 of them here working with their supervisor. Never had any kind of problem with any of them. Really friendly, nice kids, you know. Sometimes I get the chance to sort of help them by letting them practice saying hello to me or something like that, because that's something they're working on too. And it's been a tremendous resource, and it really does exist in every community. And these people are looking for job sites that are safe for their children. And so it's a wonderful thing to do if you can do it, and it's also easily, you know, worth the time and the money to have these people come on in. It's free.
Yeah, that's a marvelous thing. Hey, have you plussed that by doing some scholarships for these kids?
For the kids who are appropriate, we actually go in and we do a program right in their center, because only a few of them come to the job site. But the rehabilitation company has, you know, a whole center with hundreds of these kids. And so we go over there every summer and we do programming with them, and it's really valuable. And actually, the kids who come to our job site, one or two of them might be candidates for lessons, but a lot of them are too low functioning for us to take on as regular students. I'm pretty,
right.
Even though I have a special needs child and my mom's a special education teacher, that lets me really clear about what kind of training you need to have a special education student in your classroom.
Yeah.
I'm pretty particular about what kind of students we let in.
Well, and which ones are appropriate to mainstream,
mm-hmm.
both for their own benefit and for the benefits or detriment to the students around them. And you do have to be aware of the learning environment of your other students, and you've got to be aware of the appropriate learning environment for them. You know, the mainstreaming phenomenon has its plus and minuses, but you've got to be aware of that and have an educated eye on that.
But so that's been really helpful and really frankly wonderful on a lot of different levels. So just to give you a rundown about what's going on with our school marketing wise in the next few weeks. Today we just started an after-school program. Tomorrow we're doing a program at a local community center, Jewish Community Center, where we're going into their after-school program. They have an after-school program, and we're working there in the Jewish Community Center. We're going to do that Century Bag and a Belt referral promotion. They sell belts for 99 cents each, and then the bags for, like, you know, pennies, literally.
That's
you know.
Great.
So we'll do that as a promotion. We've got a newspaper campaign going on. Honestly, I don't remember what that is. I assume it helps with the marketing. We've got a grand reopening happening in a few weeks, and the grand reopening is going to have three things that are going to draw people in. One is that I have some big announcements that we're going to be doing, and we have some curriculum changes where we're going to go to a mandatory leadership model, et cetera. So people's interest has been piqued over the last 3 or 4 months about, hey, how is exactly that going to work? And most people already know, but there's still a handful who want to come hear it from me.
Yeah.
And we're also going to schedule our in-house tournament that same day, so people will get a chance to see that. And then we're going to rent these sumo suits. I don't know if you've seen these big padded suits.
Yeah.
And they have a kid-sized version. So what's going to happen is from now until the event, 3 weeks from now, the kids are going to earn in class by bringing friends or by, you know, extraordinary attitude or overdoing it on their character development projects, earn stickers up on the wall next to their names. So we'll print a little poster with all the kids' names, and they can put their stickers up on their wall, and that's their tickets to get into a sumo match. And they'll get one for competing in the in-house tournament, too. So everyone will get a chance to do it, and some kids will get several chances if they've been outstanding stars in the program. We're going to do some joint venture business ventures with our toy store in the mall, and actually we'll be going to the mall. We've been having a lot of success with that, and frankly, some of that may have been the fact that we were doing it in November, December, when the mall was packed. But in 3 hours, we're collecting 45, 50 leads, and we had, let me see, I was there Christmas Eve day. I'm Jewish, so it was really easy. But I was there, you know, like, for 3 hours, 10 to 1, so even if you, I had somebody join me who was celebrating the holiday. And that day, we collected 45 leads, and, you know, then we had to take a week off because we were closed last week. But even with the delay, we had 9 people come in yesterday and Monday from those 3 hours, and we're expecting to sign 3 of them tonight. We do a 2-inter process, so we're expecting to sign 3 of those people tonight. So that was 3 hours well spent right there. Mm-hmm. And
I have to interrupt you here for St. John. We have not even gotten to Professor Williams, and
I told
Grandmaster we would put him on the phone about 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
We have a very exciting calendar for Inner Circle Peak Performers over the next year. We're going to be in Orlando in February. We're going to do kind of behind the scenes of Disney service and quality, and look at West Point and tie it into leadership. And of course, you know, we've got, you know, several million and multi-million dollar school operations, and yours is certainly one that I'm hoping is going to go from $500,000 to $1 million this year. And I think you're on track to do it. Would you agree that that's a reasonable objective this year?
I'm really expecting some steady, solid growth this year. That's going to really, you know, double my net, or even maybe triple my net.
Yeah, yeah. But
so I thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm excited. I mean, it's for, you know, for many people, it's been a very tough a couple of years because, I mean, we're in the worst recession since the Great Depression. And, you know, in your case, you know, your net has been strong with a kind of a frustrating student count, but a constantly increasing student value. And I think we diagnosed a lot of sales issues and so forth recently, so we can, as we open the pipeline again, you know, get a much better conversion rate from enrollment and then into renewal, if that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, that's starting to have an impact now on the way things are going and the increased student values. Allowed me to probably, I think I would have survived no matter what with a decreased enrollment. You know, so survival wasn't a factor, but survive without losing any of my employees or changing my business model in a significant way. Having the upgrade programs that allowed me to do that, so that, and that was definitely a product of being in the inner circle, something I wouldn't have thought to charge what I'm trying for.
If you don't mind, give everybody a couple thoughts about Peak Performance Inner Circle, what it's all about, while I get Van Mastery. I'm going to skip myself for just a second.
Okay, sure. So I don't know who's on the call, whether you're already in Peak Performers and are listening to Inner Circle or whether you're not in either group.
So we have probably, Toby has the number, but I'd say 130 to 150 maximum impact hosting members on the call.
Oh, okay. Very good. So here's what I think we all know. We all probably already have enough information to be twice as successful as we already are. Probably more like 10 times that amount of information. And the information is all good, and I recommend we continue our education, but I think we're all clear that, you know, getting the education alone isn't enough to make a significant difference unless there's a huge change in our personal motivation or huge change in our implementation. And that's where the next levels of the program come in, because you're not only getting you're surrounding yourself in a peer group that's going to support you and be excited for your success in a way that is hard to replicate outside of a mastermind group. Plus, you're getting, you know, great ideas that if you're reading a magazine article, you just might not believe in the same way you would if somebody you know and just had coffee and lunch with and think they're a really good guy tells you, oh, I did this and it worked. It's like getting advice from your best friend. You're more likely to take it than if you read something in a newspaper. And so that level just helps you implement the things that you probably already know. And the value of that is infinite, because it just takes the knowledge and skills you already have and puts a big magnifying glass on it. So I can't tell you how much it makes my year more exciting and more effective than I would be, you know, if I was just doing it on my own like I used to.
Yeah, and you know, John, one of the things I think while we're waiting for Grandmaster Ree, you know, I had the unique experience of kind of going through this several times on my own in different niches, and obviously with Master Oliver and Dan Kennedy's Platinum Group, which again is kind of a model for what we've created in this deal. And the way I feel about it is, if you want to shorten a learning curve, mm-hmm. you know, a learning curve that could take decades or, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, that's really the way to do it. I mean, I learned more about internet marketing and direct mail and, I mean, you name it, in just a year or two, that would literally take decades for people to accomplish, because you're literally surrounded by people who are doing it every day, all day long. And you can avoid the mistakes that they're making and that they've already made and learn from the experience that they had. So, I mean, that's definitely something I think that I value at a pretty high level with that type of a structure, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, I'm back. Here's Grand Mastery. Master Milroy and Mr. Metcalf, we have Grandmaster June Ree on the phone here with us. So welcome, Grandmaster Ree.
No, let me go to my landline, okay?
Sure.
I don't have. Could you call my landline?
Oh, absolutely. Or you can call me right back on this number, and I can just plug you in.
I am sick, and I cannot see things very well.
I apologize. Hang on just a second.
Call my landline 70.
Okay. Well, we get that logistics worked out, you know, I guess two things really quickly here while we're waiting for Mr. Reed to plug back in. You know, obviously the things like the Teacher Appreciation Day or week or, you know, banquet, those types of things. Seasonality, if we had to draw a connecting line between what Joe was describing with his stickers on the front of the newspaper and, John, what you were talking about with the Teacher Appreciation Week or banquet and those types of activities, really one of the high concepts I really think we should all be really embracing, especially right now in the media market that we're existing in right now, is you really do have to break through the clutter, right? Whatever marketing approach you're taking, whatever media you're using, whether it's, you know, direct mail or TV or radio or newspaper or flyers on doors or telemarketing, whatever it is, you know, being different, you know, being unusual, sticking out of the crowd, you know, getting the attention of the people who you're trying to get the attention of is vital, right? It's extremely important. And there's a website, if you guys look for brownielocks.com, there's a website called brownielocks.com. And what it basically has, one of the things it has is a listing of all the unusual or strange holidays that happen throughout the year. And obviously Teacher Appreciation Week is something that, you know, we have ad campaigns for, and we send those out every, you know, couple of years or whatever to our members and things like that. Obviously we're in the process of updating all that stuff as well. But what you also may want to be looking for are unusual holidays and interesting things that are happening in the community that really do kind of break through the clutter, right? You know, one of my, I guess, favorite examples of those types of things are, you know, there are any number of strange holidays, like, you know, National Peanut Day or National Ice Cream Day or, you know, National Everybody Get Off the Couch Day. I mean, you know, there are all sorts of. There's actually National Child Leadership Day. I think it's in November sometime. But there are just hundreds of these unusual holidays that are easy to mold and fit into opportunity, you know, for us in our schools. And, John, you know, I think something like a Teacher Appreciation Day like you're describing is a huge opportunity that, you know, in most cases is underutilized. And just the concept in general is, you know, what can I draw a connection? You know, how can I draw an unusual connection or something that stands out that people really remember me for? Or, you know, or people really now pay attention to the marketing I'm sending? You know, those types of things. Obviously,
and,
we all get. Are we back?
Well, yeah, I'm having trouble connecting with Master Ree. I'm getting his voicemail. So he may call me right back, and so we have some time with him today. If not, we'll reschedule and do it later in the month, maybe make it a bonus call for everybody. You know, I will point out, we sent everybody as a Christmas gift his book, and one of the things that I want to chat with Master Ree for everybody's benefit, of course, is he was really, you know, one of the originators of martial arts is about character development and confidence and discipline and aid in schools and so forth. I mean, this is going back to the early 1970s. And really, if you look at, and I mean, in his organization is 70s, 80s, into the 90s was, you know, multi-million dollar school operation back when that was really unheard of in the United States. But it was really based upon something much broader and much more important than, you know, teaching, in his case, Taekwondo. And nobody had a more credible foundation high-level martial arts. I mean, he was teaching Bruce Lee how to kick, and Bruce Lee was, you know, influencing his thinking on you know, frankly, what we call nowadays mixed martial arts. But it's very important to keep in perspective that current trends in the industry really aren't anything new. It, you know, everything goes in full cycle. The only thing that really is new about MMA is the fact that UFC is doing billions of dollars in spectator revenue. And so it really is not a new thing. It's, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, it was when kickboxing was big. And admittedly, never as big as UFC. But we were filming every other month right there in one of Jim Ray's schools, live broadcast on ESPN for, you know, world and U.S. title fights. And we recognized at the time that no amount of having world champions really created new students. Joe Corey and I used to have this argument 30 years ago about whether PKA as a spectator sport was feeding schools or not. And there was some usefulness then, there's some usefulness now. But it's appropriate to keep in mind what our real target market is, what they really want to accomplish, and how to integrate it all. Hey, Toby, if I don't connect with Master Reed here for us, it's a good opportunity to get back to Professor Williams if he didn't get cut off here. Professor Williams, you still on the line with us? If you're muted, hit star 6. Sounds like we may have lost him. Okay, so let's, Master Mallory, why don't we wrap with 5 or 6 quick thoughts from what Jonathan Metcalf has said and what Joe Borucki said, and what we, you know, the conversation we had a couple months ago with Sasha. If you're going to add 100 students in the next 90 days, what are some of the things that had gone unmentioned in rapid fire, would you say, Master Miller?
Well, you know, I would say before what has gone unmentioned is if you were not on the call in October, so maybe you're a new member or something like that, or for one reason or another you weren't able to make the October Maximum Impact call. In fact, Master Oliver, I think we should run that call on a future SOSCD. But we did a very extensive call with Professor Williams in October for the sole purpose of what you're describing is, in Professor Williams' case specifically, he has what we would all consider to be a very challenging demographic environment. He has a very difficult demographic. Therefore, we have to drive lots and lots and lots of traffic for him to be able to meet his enrollment goals. And not only has he cracked that code, but also has, you know, we've leveraged and leveraged and leveraged it, so now he's enrolling, you know, he's doing 200 to 250 intros a month. And enrolling 35, 40 students a month. He's added, 100 students in 90 days to his location, and a couple of hundred students now in the last half of the year in his location in Fresno. So if you were not on that call, I would suggest everybody goes to the member site. And there's two ways you can find it. The easiest way to find it is just use the little search function in the top right-hand corner of the member site and type in 250 intros. And it'll bring back the results, and one of those, the third result, is that teleconference we did with Sasha. So I would go back to that. And the other way to follow it is find it is just to go to the Maximum Impact Resources tab and go to teleconferences.
And if I remember correctly, we also ironically had Jonathan Metcalf on that call briefly as well.
I think that is right. I think that is right.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't done that, I would definitely go back and do that, because again, in your direct question is what's the rapid fire. I think the number one thing that we can all be doing right now, which is what Jonathan mentioned, that perhaps expanding on it, is you got to go see the people, and you got to go find the big herd of your potential customers and go get in front of them. And that entire conference call, that entire 90 minutes, we talked about how to do that and how to leverage it into leads, leverage it into intros, and leverage it into appointments immediately that day. At a very high level. And I think right now, especially since it's the new year, people are fitness-minded, people are getting back to their schedule, they're getting back on track. Now is exactly the time to be in every daycare, elementary school, private school, church, youth group, sports team, you name it, using that model, right, where you can get in front of them and use that sort of a strategy like Jonathan was describing at a toy store, you know. To be able to drive a lot of leads all at once. So I think that's a big focus. Second, I think, is everybody should...
Hey, Toby.
Go ahead.
Toby, please interrupt your thought here. We now have Grandmaster Reed with us. We've had some
wonderful
glitches. But Grandmaster Reed, everybody on the call today received your wonderful Christmas present. of Truetopia.
Oh, yeah.
And while we were having some problems connecting here, is I had walked them through a little bit of background. I mean, frankly, that the person in the martial arts industry who first introduced A's in school, and there was really more about personal development and developing focus and confidence and self-esteem, especially in the kids market, was the Junry Institute, and of course with your direct implementation. And I think Truetopia is the latest iteration of that principle and philosophy. And so let's take just a second, if you don't mind.
Yes.
If I'm running a martial arts school, and of course I know one of your Junry schools is over $1 million a year. Let's talk about what the difference is between trying to sell kicking and punching in a greater philosophical underpinning, and why you think 30 years ago and today that's still extremely valuable.
Well, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I was still, you know, immature compared to now. And again, through experience that a new idea come up and then I implement. And, you know, seven qualities of a champion. That is the really beginning of a whole concept. Now, strength in the body, honesty in the heart, knowledge in the mind. You know, we have to have a strong body to build a good temple of a mind. Now, when you have a good temple, then you can carry a sound mind. And when you have a sound mind and sound body, how can anybody be lazy developing knowledge in the mind and muscle in the body?
Mm-hmm.
This way you can become, you know, physically, humanly perfect. And then we talk about, you know, universal human purpose of life, truth, beauty, and love. As you know, that in the beginning of history, our Creator tried to teach us to be truthful, and we went opposite way. That when we went opposite way, that is really deception. Deception created a tremendous monster. In other words, what the distrust created was, you know, people were very nervous about neighbors, so they built an army, and they built the soldiers. And then within the country, people still cheat, so they build the police. They build, lawyers and accountants and martial art, even religion. And all these institutions are because people became, you know, deceptive. If everybody became totally honest, then there shouldn't be any distrust, then nothing would be necessary, the institution that exists. So, 100 years ago, Wright brothers had some vision. Hey, we can fly. And within his lifetime, he made the plane, didn't he? And Thomas Edison, and about a little over 100 years ago, he said, I'm going to light up the whole world at night, as bright as it can be. And he made it impossible within his lifetime. In other words, believing you will not make it happen, but vision. When you see it clearly, visualize, then, and you have confidence and energy, and you pursue until it's realized. And I have my vision. I have my vision that what is, you know, really divine human character is. So now, martial artists, I this is a little bit of a wild idea to most people. To me, it's not wild at all. We need to develop a divine human institution. And I am thinking about going around all over the world. Let's make all martial arts school.
is named the Divine Human Institutions. When we labeled like that, instructors will be motivated, students will be motivated, parents are motivated. There will come some people who have some, you know, the profound thought, really support with their good money and their energy to really make martial art as a key point, as the starting point of divine human institutions. And this is my new wild thought. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, I think maybe to translate for school owners in a little bit different way, if you look at where so many school owners are with their school,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes they're struggling day to day to make the rent and make the payroll.
Yeah,
and
I know. Well, they will have to do, you know, random work as they have been.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then this my the divine human institution school is something, you know, we set the goal in 100 years later.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, while we are doing, we keep this in back in our mind and doing, you know, maintaining our school, survive is to fulfill this divine human schools.
Oh, absolutely. And where I was going with that is if you have a broad picture,
yeah.
of what your mission is, so your mission is to have such an incredible impact on each individual student.
Yes.
That then has a ripple effect through their family, has a ripple effect through their
school. Oh, no question about it.
And I
especially, you know, Russia and U.S. government, they have so much trust in me. When we have to really have grassroots movement working on first, then government will jump in. Otherwise, they're not going to be elected.
Well, and it's ultimately from a purely self-interested financial standpoint, is if you're just grinding it out with the intricacies of trying to do a new marketing piece without a broader vision,
well,
it ultimately
is not
breakable.
This is something money spending deal.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Jim Moffat and those rich people, they really want to change the world with their money. Hey, this is it. I think I give all my money to these institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Once, you know, those kind of credibility is built up, and government will jump in, and entire world will jump in.
You bet.
So that's why this is martial art philosophy, and I really do believe that. This eventually becomes something. In other words, let me say this. You know, distrust is the cause of all this problem, because they cannot trust anybody. They all become selfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that, you know, contaminated heart contaminates air, water, soil, food, and the human body, everything. And how can you really stop this? There's no way. I mean, the way church is teaching, you just believe in and then go to kingdom of heaven and when you die. That's not going to build the kingdom of heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom must come here. I'm not talking about religion, okay? I'm talking about the, you know, human life.
You bet.
And I know when God first created, he did not create the Bible first. He did not create a religion either. If he did create a religion before he created this human society, I don't think he's a good God. I mean, you know, another thing that we say, we must live and die for his sake. I mean, have your parents ever asked you and your brothers to live and die for their honor, their sake?
Yeah. Hey, Grandmaster Reed, let me suggest, because you have way too much wisdom and way too broad a topic for us to accomplish in the short time we have left today.
If you're going to be available later in the month, why don't we do a bonus call for all of our members and,
okay.
and take 60 to 90 minutes and really explore in depth. And I would really encourage all of our members to go through your book thoroughly because it's a very robust philosophy. And, you know, at the very least, you know, I want to plant the seeds in everybody's mind that really we're all about a higher calling. We're about having a huge and lasting impact first with a student, then with their immediate family, and then with our broader community. And what we are in part trying to solve is we're trying to get people over the need for short-term financial deficits and fix that. But really what our long-term is for us to be a long-standing pillar and to really improve and enhance society overall.
Have you read all my book?
Of course.
Now, so, you know, the money, the reason we don't have money is because we waste so much money.
You bet.
And so, you know, one, two more things that I just finished, reading CD on my book. So people don't have time to sit down and read. They can buy CD, three CDs in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's $10 for retail and $20 in retail and wholesale is $10, retail is $20.
Yeah, and I'll work with Master Carlson to make sure that they have the same access to those as they do now to the book.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on that. Why don't we promise everybody maybe in a couple weeks, we'll give them plenty of notice, but if we can ask you for 60 or 90 minutes of your time, we'll really explore in depth.
Are you going to Atlantic City Conference?
I am, actually. I'm going to be there. Master Milroy's going to be there. Master Smith's going to be there. And
I'm going to be a keynote speaker there.
Well, there you go. So
we can meet there, baby. We have time there.
Let's meet there, and NAPMA is doing a one-day seminar prior to that.
Good.
Toby, it's on Friday prior to the Atlantic City event. Is that correct?
Yeah, I am Saturday, 1 p.m.
Okay. And I believe, Master Smith, I'm tentatively scheduled to fly into Washington, D.C., actually,
huh?
And to drive up with Grandmaster Smith.
Korobov is coming from Ukraine.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Korobov is saying, you know, Kazakhstan is really hot with the Chutopia.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a former a student in the Republican hunt right now, correct? Newt Gingrich is having some peaks and valleys, but he was a student of yours for a while, if I remember.
That's right,
So you've had quite a few high-profile students, but... there is certainly one of them who is having an impact on the country, regardless of whether he gets the nomination here.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes.
I am very confident. I'm driven. I mean, I am so sick in the bed all the time, but I'm still working every day.
Yeah, it's been a challenging year.
During the sickness, I translated in Korean. I made a CD in English, and we are making CD in Korean.
Perfect. And we'll make sure everybody has access to that. But let's promise everybody in a couple of weeks, maybe right after Atlantic City,
okay.
We'll do a little bonus call for everybody so we really don't have to rush it on time.
Yeah, we can maybe have a short meeting ourselves in Atlantic City.
I will look forward to it, either when I'm in Washington or and in addition when we're in Atlantic City.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir.
And I'm through then today?
Yeah, we'll schedule 60 to 90 minutes. We really don't have to rush.
Okay.
Thank
I'm going to rest a bit.
Yeah, get some rest, and we'll follow up later this week.
If you need me, call me again, okay?
I will, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Master Milroy, we've kind of rushed our time zone here, and as we can tell with Grandmaster Reed, I don't think 15 minutes is going to get a starting point on application. So I think we've got a commitment from him to do a little bonus call for everybody later in the month that'll more properly encapsulate it and what I always try to do is, you know, is translate it back to where the rubber meets the road in your school. And ultimately, our mission is to have everybody making enough money they don't have to worry about money. And now their focus is really on the contribution to the student, the family, and the community. You can't come from a point of deficit. And I think it's Lincoln's quote, or it's a, you know, a tribute to Lincoln, is, you know, best way to help the poor is, you know, start out by not being one of them. But I think the translation is creating a higher level of transcendence on what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, Grandmastery is now, you know, 40 years down the pike and applying that principle to a martial arts school, and sometimes it needs a little translation on the front end to see how it applies. But clearly making what we're doing about physical as opposed to transcendent values is a step in the wrong direction. We've got to make it about leading people to the higher levels at the appropriate time and place and in the appropriate way. So, Master Mallory, we're way over time, but anything that you would add before we have to ring off for everybody?
No, I think we're good. I think, you know, again, we'll be seeing a bunch of folks in Atlantic City for Alan Goldberg's Action Hall of Honors. And, you know, we've got an exciting year coming up, so it's going to be pretty it's going to be intense.
Yeah. Absolutely every member who hasn't scheduled the time for you and I to get on the phone with them and do a one-on-one evaluation should do that. There is no obligation. It's not a pitch for anything. We really want to make sure that we've looked under the covers and given them some real solid advice on what to do next. That having been said, is where we're seeing the huge results. $250,000 added to their school, doubled in the net. I think Jonathan probably, as I was doing my phone tag with Master Reed, described it pretty eloquently. I didn't hear what he had to say, but the next level of, for those who aren't part of what we're doing of peak performers, and of course Inner Circle is the black belt club, so is the black belt class. So schools that are half a million up to multi-million, some of them qualify for Inner Circle. Schools that are less than those numbers, with some personal evaluation and approval, probably qualify for Peak Performers. Peak Performers is NATMA's version of our Black Belt Club for those who really are ready to make massive changes. And I know you and I have both found lots of people who've had lots of information stacked on the desk, passed through their CD player and DVD, who still aren't where they want to be. And we're seeing overnight, not overnight meaning 30 days, but huge, massive changes and improvements with the ones that we're now working with personally, and then we're coming to our meetings. And, you know, we have quite a theme for the meetings this year, but really it's about the mastermind effect and the personal coaching. We're theming service and looking this year at Disney and theming leadership and looking this year at West Point. But it's the benefit we get from each of the people, and I think anybody on the call has seen from just what we heard with Joe DeRucci and Sasha Williams and Jonathan Metcalf that there's incredible value to be had from sitting in the room with other people of that caliber. That's all I have, Master Miller. I know we're long over our time allotment, but we'll schedule some time to make it valuable with Master Reed and not rest, and we'll get some follow-up with Sasha Williams if we didn't get a chance to do that. But we have a fabulous conversation with him from that October call that, as you remind everybody, they should go listen to if they haven't already.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, sir. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again in about 30 seconds.
Great. Speak to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.